welcome to Bagel Tech, Mac, the coughing show from the Mac Show, right in the middle of the credits from Andrew Stevenson. Thank you very much, Andrew. We'll explain you really quiet think to you
can,
later.
Do you really think you could mute 4 minute once?
Hang on, is that bloody Will dialing back in?
Hello? Will knew he couldn't keep his mouth shut, so he just disconnected.
Will, are you there?
No, you'll call him. Was I cut?
Someone was.
I'm here. Did you cut me off?
No, someone called. I did that. Hello, everyone. Nice, slick start to the show this week. I'm leaving that in. Stuff it. I'm happy today. I'm not watching a frigging wedding. Right, the Mac Show. It's the. What do we do on this? Yes. It's Apple. All things Apple. We discuss iDevices, all the news from the Apple world, and there's not a huge amount this week. And we'll just...
There's a white iPhone!
Have an... Yay. Well, there you go. That is the biggest news from Apple this week, is that they've actually bothered to release the white iPhone. So, is everyone excited?
No. By the white iPhone? Well,
by the white iPhone.
Goes really well with the Beatles' White Album.
The white iPhone for the white album. It's a bit of corporateness. And before we start that, we need to just go around the panel. It's all of the usual people. So, Don, hello, good morning.
Good afternoon, or whatever. Yeah, hi, Ewan.
Have you been weddingless today?
You know what? I was determined not to watch it, and I even went to the extent of blocking people in my Twitter stream and putting those keywords in, and then no matter how many keywords are put in or people are blocked, it still kept coming up, so I thought, oh, hang it, let's have a go. So I actually fired it up. And to be honest, I actually did enjoy it in some weird, perverse sort of way. As long, mind you, I did watch it on YouTube, which had no commentary, so I actually watched That's it better. And read my Twitter stream at the same time. It was very funny. So that was it was a quite enjoyable morning.
We've got some children on the podcast. Oh, well. Right. Now, the other thing I was going to say, Don, was put down the bunting and step away, mate, because that really was pretty bad yesterday.
Oh, well, yeah.
The tweeting out, shall I change the website?
Well, that was Tom Scott who put together a little hack that you could do it with any website. It wasn't just my website. You just tacked your own website URL on the end of it, a special URL, and it put bunting all around the edge and played some music. So, but no, that wasn't... wasn't a permanent feature.
Jolly good. Next to him, Mr. Dr. Happy Mac from Cirencester, having freshly sold Macs the other day at the Cornwall.
Yes,
good day, I believe.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, best day ever.
Six iMac orders.
Mm, and two MacBooks.
Well. Rich man. Best move you ever made. Was it all Princess Anne this time or not?
Yes, I think, the royal family are obviously going to get... are going to get Mac'd up. I think we worked out, didn't we, that... Prince William is a Mac and Kate Middleton is a PC.
Well, she's from a council estate, so, you know, that's likely.
Oh, yeah. Poor girl.
She's not from a council estate.
She is.
She's the queen.
No, she is. She invited the local spa shopkeeper down for the wedding, didn't she? Because that's where she buys her chocolate, unquote. And Willie likes an ice cream, unquote. There you go.
Well, I think it's lovely that a touch of common is blessing our lovely royal family.
Well, the rest of us have got no choice, mate. That's the trouble.
And I can't quite work out why all the normal Mac people are quite happy to be doing this instead of being glued to front of the telly.
Well, they weren't to do with the photo show early. We're all on our own. So I'm glad that some people have turned up. Thank you very much. Below him is commoner number three, Kyle Muswagger. How you doing, mate?
Good, man. How are you?
Kyle Muxwagger, you were there for a second. Yeah, I'm fine, mate. Good week. Nice break.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I just got out of Manila. I went to someplace hotter than it is here, but at least it was on a beach. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. By the way, you look stunning in pink.
I mean, it's red.
It looks pink.
Faded red. But thank you.
Looks pink.
Steve in the chat room saying that the adverts for Ustream stream perfectly. And then when our feed starts, it goes all jittery. But the royal wedding's streaming faultlessly. Thank you, mate. That makes me feel so much better. I don't know what we're doing wrong.
They're still in our bandwidth.
We've pissed off someone at Ustream proper, haven't we? That's the thing. And last but by no means least, the other big willy today, Will Green. How's it going, mate?
I could tell you a story about that.
As long as we can publish it.
I don't think you could.
Okay,
it was a real compliment by the doctor. Well, Vic's doctor, actually.
Okay. Right, so...
Do you want me to go into it or not?
Well, only if we can. We haven't got an explicit tag, so go ahead. Go on then.
No, I better not.
No, okay.
But
we'll do the after show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did it involve an Apple sticker, Will?
It didn't. But it was a real compliment by Vic's doctor, which was, you know, I was quite happy with, really.
Good. That's nice to know. Cheers, okay. Fate. Everyone's mind is now running rampant with what the answer could be to that question, but we'll have to leave it, I'm afraid, everyone.
Let it run.
It's just a good job with no video from Will yet again. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, dear me. Right, so the week in Apple. As we said, the iPhone has come out in a white version. They could be iMacs as new as Tuesday of next week, which will satisfy you, Will, I would have thought. And then Amazon Germany has listed 10.7 already in the store, getting ready. And there was talk about new Macs supporting a Retina-level display because apparently there's support up for 3,200 by 2,000 pixels in Lion as well as. And they've defended their location data thingy, and there's there's loads of stuff going on. Are we bothered about white iPhone, or is it just an annoyance now? Now it's actually here. We've been bitching about it all week, but we've never done it, have we, so?
It's an indication, it is.
It's an indication of what?
Of the iPhone 4S. Why would they press ahead with the sort of the difficulties in manufacturing this white case unless they were going to keep this same case for a new phone? Makes sense. So the iPhone 4S will be available in black and white. It'll have the same case, but it'll have the A4 processor.
Right. Now, that's the first thing that I was going to say, answered perhaps, because the case is different.
Oh. That's that then.
It's slightly thicker. I mean, we're seeing it is a little bit thicker. They're saying it's for UV sun protection.
Well, the problem that you get with white stuff is the fact that you don't want it to go yellow. And that's one of the big issues. When they had trouble with the white iPhone 3GS going yellow, we've got a guy that's helped us out in the past, a technical guy, and he said when he's done plastics manufacturing many years ago, it's the fixers that they put in. And if the fixers aren't working properly in the white plastics, it goes yellow very easily. So the big issue here has been how to stop the thing from yellowing. And if you look at all a lot of the old Mac stuff that was white plastic in places, that's all gone to absolute crap yellow now. The iMac that I bought the other week has still got loads of yellowing all over it. So it's all to do with fixers, apparently. But there's a change in the earpiece. There's an extra slot for the earpiece, which is completely different from the iPhone 4 in black. So if you have a look here, I've managed to get a picture for you. There it is. There's an extra slot at the top. And it looks like that the headpiece of the phone there right at the top where the microphone is actually slightly elongated from the black phone. It does look different from the ones that are on the site as well as. So there you go. There is a subtle change.
I think that you can just hear somebody better now.
How do you mean?
It's got two little notches there, so I can hear somebody better now. I can hear when I actually get a call dropped.
No, I just thought that ties in with what Will's saying, because he's talking about a change in the case, because this is going to be the 4S as opposed to the 5.
That's an interesting thing. He may be right. I still think we're going to get a bigger iPhone screen next iPhone.
You really think going up to 4 inches?
4.3
Retina. There's where your money is.
Let's just say that I might have some clues about that.
Oh, go on.
Well, you know that I have a cousin that works at Apple in iTunes, so...
Okay, as long as he's not cool, Swagger, he's safe now, then.
No, he's not Swagger, yeah, no. No, okay. I've been hearing little things about 4.3 screens coming out.
Well, come not on, kidding. Man, this is a Mac show. We're talking about rumors, dude. You can't...
Well, that's all I know. That's all I know. I just know that there's supposed to be a 4-inch screen coming out later, possibly this year.
But it's not the new phone.
No, it would be a new phone. So this is what I'm thinking Will might also be correct, is that they're going to... You remember like when they had the 3G, then we got the 3GS, it was faster. So the processor makes sense. I think we'll have the same transition. But I think immediately after that, we'll have another iPhone that's a bigger screen with more features, just like a complete redesign like we have with the iPhone 4.
Really? So it's still going to be a 4, but it's going to be a 4S, which ties in with Will, which ties in with the new change in the casing. John, any thoughts?
Hmm... Yeah, I mean, I do think they will go with a bigger screen eventually. It's just when, really. And I did think that when the new phone comes out, they probably will keep the existing form factor. And even though the new white one is slightly different, it's not radically different. I noticed someone in the chat room say that there are some problems with some cases because of the extra thickness of the white iPhone. But it would make sense for them to sort of keep the form factor so that they didn't have to retool. Well, the manufacturers didn't have to retool and create new cases. But I don't know what I have to say. But definitely, yeah, definitely a bigger screen. Whether or not it'll come out with one, come out in the phone this year, I'm not too sure. But I'm sure we will see a bigger screen eventually.
Well, there was a suggestion that the contingent event that was held aside for iTunes and for the iPod functionality, because of the downturn in iPods now, that could logically turn over to iPhone. So in September, we could see some announcement of upgrade to processor or, you know, a minor bump rather than shouting out iPhone 5. So all of those things added together, when you draw and join the dots, it could be looking like it's a real suggestion. We could be getting a bigger phone with all the extra stuff on September the 9th or whenever it is, and they will probably have their event. Andrew, any thoughts?
Well, I've been seeing some things on the internet. They're talking about getting the bigger screen by going edge to edge on the display, which is, I guess, one way of doing it and keeping it in broadly the same form factor. I mean, some of the mock-ups that have been shooting around the internet have been pretty outlandish and look like far too much of a departure from where the phone is now. But I think maybe getting the screen edge to edge would probably take care of some of the complaints about the screen size. And some people have been pointing out that there's this some multi-touch stuff in the new iOS, which might be pointing to something else happening down there with the home button being used a bit more than just a straightforward button. But I reckon I can see it being based almost exclusively on the white iPhone case. I mean, are they going to sell enough white iPhones between now and September to make it worth retooling the production again?
There is there's a point in the chat room that if they're going to go for a bigger screen, are we going to keep the Retina display or are we going to go kind of backwards in pixel density?
No, I think they'll keep it. It's quite a big marketing point for them, really, isn't it? The Retina display. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they could actually. It wouldn't hurt to go to drop it slightly, to be honest, because I think it's probably over. Well, the thing is, if they do go for a bigger display, they can keep the same pixel resolution, but lose the density slightly. It probably still will be a Retina display, but you know they won't need to produce yet another resolution for developers to write the software to. I think they'll keep the existing resolution, but just make the screen that much bigger.
Perhaps so you are dropping the density then.
If they keep the same density, it will be a drop on a bigger screen. I suppose I don't know. With the technology, they might be able to bump it up so it keeps the same density. But I'm not sure if they actually need to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about the problem with going edge to edge as well. There's a question from Maxess in the chat room saying you could end up touching the screen while you're holding it as a result because people's fingers mold around the edges and that kind of thing. But the other thing I thought was in terms of ratio and proportion, it's pretty close to the edge already. So you wouldn't actually, there's no way you're going to get to 4.3 without changing your ratio anyway. No?
Yeah, I don't know how much extra the edge to edge actually gives you. It doesn't from looking at a normal iPhone, it doesn't look as though it's actually going to be that much of a, you know, an increase. But I can't see them doing a radical redesign to fit in a huge screen.
It's not going to be enough to get you to 4.3 is what I'm saying. So if Carl's talking about a 4.3 screen, let me just get my trusty ruler. Here's one I prepared earlier with ruler. If I'm going to go diagonal 4.3 is currently only about a quarter of an inch away from being the entire diameter of the phone.
Yeah, it's never going to go that big.
There's got to be a form factor change in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we shall see. And all that over the white iPhone, which we didn't care about at all anyway.
But it surely matches the dress, at least. I'm surprised that Kate Middleton didn't pull out the white iPhone. They could have rushed one to her yesterday, got out of the carriage, lovely flowing white dress, white iPhone.
Well, now I have been looking at a few of Kate's tweets. And so the white iPhone could well be camouflaged underneath the dress, definitely. What she's pushing the button with, we'll have to get an answer on a postcard to that one.
I want to see the pictures from that.
Kate's complaining apparently that on the way out of the Abbey, they had asked for the theme from Star Wars to be played. not what was played. And she came out with some great ones. There was one earlier on. Bloody hell, I thought they'd have cleaned out this car. It still smells of Charles and Camilla's chicken tikka masala from last night, which I thought was Twitter of the week for me. Right, so we've had a question. And it's a good point, a good discussion point. A chap called Jim, Mac Jim, has written into us and said, I got my MacBook Pro back from the Apple store and they'd fitted a new logic board to cure the problem that I'd had with the flickering screen and the screen blackouts. It's displaying an intermittent black screen like a blink every once in a while. I've had half a dozen screens distinctly blanking out, and then when I went to them and said, is that what solved the problem? They wouldn't tell me whether it was or it wasn't, but it's just not seeming to do it any now. So I had AppleCare, so goodbye. Definitely. I don't know about you, but I'd be interested to find out what the panel thinks about Apple products becoming less reliable in general. I've had a few problems with this and previous MacBooks, the white one, and with iPhone 2 and the iPhone 4 and 3G. And I've got some problems with bad home buttons on both of those. Have Apple turned a corner and started to become a less reliable manufacturer? I thought that was a really good question. What do we think?
Is it like when people complain that Mercedes are made like rubbish suddenly? They've gone from the world's best built car to... I know yours is probably one of the ones where they were nicely built, Ewan, but...
Yeah, mine's too old. Having said that, it's just failed its MOT, so steady on.
I'm not really placed to... It's weird because I fix broken Macs. All I see every day is broken Macs, you know, and you think, God, everybody I know has got a broken Mac, and then I suddenly remember that the only reason I know them is because they've got a broken Mac.
There are
people
anonymous
around the Cotswolds that have got Macs that I don't know about because they've not broken. I know the flashing screen was, I've got, that's been a fairly widespread issue, and Apple's response to that has varied from appalling to absolutely and utterly appalling. So,
oh right, no good in it at all. I mean, is your gut feeling? I mean, because you've been doing this for a while now, haven't you?
Hmm.
A couple of years.
Yeah, no, my gut feeling is that the actual quality of the machines is as good, if not better. Certainly, the current, unibody MacBook Pros are a huge advance over the original MacBooks for reliability and sturdiness of build. The current MacBooks themselves, the unibody white MacBooks, never see them. The Intel iMacs, absolutely bulletproof. I mean, I think people are forgetting things like anything that Apple built with a G5 processor in it, which consigned itself to the landfill site after 18 months, pretty much. Mm. The flashing display thing is, I mean, I've had several customers bring their MacBooks in and saying, some people don't even notice it, which is really weird, but it flashes to black and then comes back again. And I've spoken to Apple on their behalf and they've said, that's a feature.
It's a feature?
Yes, they do that, was the reply. And he's like, excuse me, this is a £1,600 laptop and the display blanks out for a quarter of a second every minute or so. And they go, yeah, they do.
No, it has to screw up. Yeah, exactly.
So, and you know, it's been a real push to get them to admit that they need to replace the logic board on that. I think it's a NVIDIA video card issue. The new ones certainly don't do it. The i5s and i7s don't do it. But yeah, my take on it is they are as good now as they've ever been.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Go on then, Don.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I can't really compare too far ago because, you know, I'm only really a relatively recent Mac user. I've only been using them for 5 or 6 years, so I don't really know sort of prior to that. I've found them generally to be very reliable, but I do think that if you do get a rogue machine, I think you get a rogue machine, something that you don't just get one fault on, you get a couple of faults on. I mean, I've got that now with a MacBook Pro, one of the 13-inch MacBook Pros, which... had a problem with the display, took that in, had the display replaced, and then had to take it back in again because there was still a problem. They opened it up and they found a problem within the logic board. And I mean, everything's fine, everything's been repaired, but I do think that if you do have one problem with the machine, sometimes you get a whole series of problems then. And that just might be down to bad luck, unfortunately. But I don't think really that they've let standards drop. I mean, I'm really impressed with the iPads. You know, the iPads are pretty much faultless. And even when the first iPads came out, the number of returns they'd be getting for, manufacturing errors or problems was minuscule compared with the numbers that they were actually putting out.
I thought you were going to say compared with the Xbox.
don't even go there.
Will, you've had Max for a number of years. What's your gut feeling on it?
I think that I agree. That they've got better,
not worse. They're not spreading themselves a bit thin.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I think with every computer, I mean, they come at a price premium, and so they put their money into making sure that they're reliable. And compared with it, sort of some of the old sort of G3s, G4s, G5s, as Andrew was saying, it's in particular, it's they were a bit of a nightmare. And so, no, I think they're pretty solid, really. So, Matt Jim,
yeah,
what do you say? Is he in the chat room?
No, he's not in the chat room. This was an email that I got. I don't think he watches live. He gets the download. But okay. But no, I mean, he's a good lad because he sends us a ton of stories for the Daily Show from really obscure feeds and stuff like that I don't subscribe to, which is great. So thanks Matt Jim for those. They were brilliant. There was a question came up this morning in the photo show as well, though, about Alex was saying that one of the first digital cameras, of course, was made by Apple. And he's surprised that it's not a market that they haven't got back into. And I just raised the question, you know, has Apple spread itself a little bit too thinly across it's across multiple levels of different platform now? I know there's a consistency and they're trying to pull a consistency back in with Lion into iOS. But I mean, I had four iPhone 3s throughout the contract. I'm on my second iPad from the first original one that I purchased, and I'm on my second iPhone 4. So I've had quite. But I get raw chicken in restaurants, so I think I attract it. Have you got any thoughts, Kyle?
Well, I'm going to go a bit of against the grain here. Now, I've never had any problem with any Apple product except an old G4. Which we all know about, but the first iPhone, never had a problem with it. The current iPhone 4 I have right now, never had a problem with it. But I don't think it's just Apple, and I could pretty much sum it up in one word, and this will probably alienate all our listeners there, but it's China. Everything is made in China now. Everything is mass manufactured in China now. And I don't care if you're Apple, I don't care if you're Sony, I don't care if you're Toshiba, Samsung, or whoever. Everything is made it so quickly now to get it out to the masses that expect a few returns here and there, because to me the quality controls, it has gone down somewhat. You always hear the saying, oh, it isn't made like it used to be, it's not made like it used to be, and I don't think it is made like it used to be. Durability wise, like I said, I've never had any problems with any of the Apple products, but I'm usually pretty careful with them. I've never tried to drop my iPhone to see if it'd crack or not. I've always tried to take the utmost care with my electronics with anything I buy. But yeah, to sum it up, I don't think things are made as well as they used to be. I think we're in the market now where it's every year Apple wants you to buy something new, like any manufacturer, though. The newest, the latest, the greatest. That's the society we live in now.
Yeah, I think sometimes as well, because everyone loves Apple or loves to hate Apple, the media doesn't miss out on the opportunity to come forward with a reason as to why Apple is a bad provider, because, you know, oh, this guy's got this problem. And once you get 10 people who've got the same problem, that seems to be the definition, if you like, of a recall for Apple products. And yeah, I mean, I can't think of ever having a recall for Apple in all the years I've used them. I've never seen an Apple recall.
Well, the closest thing they came to a recall, and it's not a recall, but the closest thing they came to it was iPhone 4. Let's face it, AntennaGate, it's kind of the same thing we were just saying a second ago. Oh, well, it's supposed to do that. Well, Steve told us to hold the phone differently. So, you know, it to me, that is, it looks beautiful. The design on it's great, but technically, I can still put my thumb over that spot, and I do lose reception bars. So,
but that's
technically, it's a flaw.
Yeah, but that's a design issue rather than a build quality issue.
I suppose so. Yeah, but still, it's an issue.
It's an issue. Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair point.
But the stuff is churned out now in numbers that, you know, 10 years ago when we were using Macs that you couldn't dream of. I mean, how many million, you know, they took blithely, we've shipped 10 million of this, 15 million of that, we've sold 1.7 million iMacs in the last month and things. And, you know, these are, at some point, you know, the production lines have over the last 5 years ramped up to levels that, you know, when Steve arrived at Apple, no one would believe they'd be doing it. And I guess that more things in more people's hands, you're going to get a greater volume of people saying, hang on, this isn't working, particularly seeing as a lot of the new people are being pulled in by the very thing that they're going to be expecting, which is total build quality, total reliability. Everyone's told that Apples never go wrong, et cetera, et cetera. So the kind of the hype and the expectation is so much higher that as these massive millions of units hit people's living rooms and things, then people go, hang on, I was told Apples were brilliant and it's now it's broken. So they're more voluble as well. Yeah.
Good thing to bear in mind as well, though, is that as they strive to more towards thinner and lighter and more sophisticated, obviously the tolerances that they have when they're manufacturing these things get smaller and smaller and smaller. And I suppose the likelihood of things breaking is more and more increased as you miniaturize and change your production techniques, etc. So that combined with the high volume that they're doing, probably does indicate that that you probably would get more returns, but I'm sure they factor those in, and that they must factor them in, to actually calculate the chargeback on them, etc., so they remain profitable. So I would imagine they'll accept a fair amount of returns or a decent tolerance of bad manufacturing. But again, being Apple, I would imagine they've got people in there, so looking at quality control and trying to keep it to a minimum.
Yeah, and no, I think they do take it seriously. There's a good point here made in the chat room from Storm at Bagel Tech Mac, which is a fabulous name. Well done, mate. I'm always amazed at how hardware faults are fixed by firmware updates. When was the last genuine hardware issue, do you think?
Well, the last genuine hardware issue was the 27-inch iMac screen, wasn't it? Which was a nightmare. That was a real product recall. Then it was people were saying... people think Apple are paying people to send their iMacs back, and it that was an actual there was an issue there somewhere, and nobody ever quite got to the bottom of it. And Apple did attempt to fix that with a firmware update, and in fact I think at the end they claimed that the firmware update was all that was wrong, but they certainly took a lot of iMacs back.
Yeah, I mean the fault that I had on my iPad was all down to the upgrade to 4.3.1, which was supposed to solve an issue which was very similar, and then allegedly 4.3.2 was going to solve it for me, but I'd already changed my iPad at that point. The chat room is very kindly helping out here with product recalls on Time Capsule in 2008 for issues with the PSU, as well as, and a counterpoint to you, Carl, was saying, of course, there is stringent quality control on China, but now that's going to be Brazil coming forwards, because of course a lot of the manufacturing is going to move to South America.
Is it?
And I can see that happening simply because of, we just seen this week that some Foxconn employees were apprehended for leaking Apple products. I mean, Apple's one of these companies that sure in the heck does not want you seeing their stuff before they want you to see it. So but you have that problem when things are made in China. I mean, ask Gucci, ask any fine designer out there that has their stuff there, that stuff always seems to leak out. So I could see them going to Brazil. My question is on that though. Will we start seeing a price increase in the products?
Well, they get some nice holidays out of it, wouldn't? I mean, yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it? If you're the Apple executive, you think, okay, we're gonna move our manufacturing plant. Where should we go then? Ooh, Brazil. I wouldn't be surprised if they move to the Caribbean. That would make sense to me.
Well, the Caribbean would make an awful lot of sense. Brazil, however, where they shoot people at traffic lights in Sao Paulo, and you don't stop your car for red.
Is that right?
After
oh my god!
10 p.m., mate.
I don't want to go there. I think it was all nice, full of beautiful women and cigars and things. Or was that Cuba?
I may agree that Copacabana Beach in the middle of the day is probably fairly safe. However, after 10 p.m. in Sao Paulo and Rio, you don't stop. It's...
Would they allow them to build a factory on the beach then? That would be pretty cool.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Do you think no one from Apple's actually been down yet?
Maybe they just get massive Apple's going, what could we get away with today? Let's send some people to Brazil and pretend to be trying to build a factory on the beach and see whether they'll let us.
No, someone's announced it or something, so.
I can see the recall notice there. Oh, damn, there's salt water in our motherboards now.
Good point in the chat room again. There's a couple of people saying they've had quite a few Apple products and never had a problem. And other people saying, well, what's the problem? Because they swap them out so readily. Would you get that kind of service from Curry's or PC World without wishing to slag Curry's and PC World off?
It's a good point, isn't it? Their customer service at Apple is second to none, I would say.
What's the kind of, I mean, again, I don't want to put you in a position here, Will, but what's the policy on swap out with stuff? You know, because they've never asked for time periods on me when I've taken stuff back. It's always a really, case of looking at it and finding the problem first, and then we'll discuss it if there is.
I don't really know. That's, so I was a creative rather than a genius, and so I didn't get involved in that much on that side. I think that the nice thing with Apple is they work on common sense, and if they can make you happy in any way they can, they will do. And they won't say it's not like, you know, you're 2 days past your warranty, that's the end of it. That they work just with common sense and being reasonable to sort of keep the Apple family together. And it is like that. It really is. It's genuine. Apple employees and as a company, I've never met a bad Apple. Hey!
Boom, tish.
Will's absolutely correct, though. I mean, to me, that's why people keep going back to Apple. Customer service is second to none. I mean, they always know what they're talking about. They always can help you. And Apple is probably one of the last few companies on this earth that actually still believes that the customer is always right.
I'm not sure about that bit, but the fact that I haven't, I mean, as a business owner, the benefit that I see in Apple is that if I want to take something back, I haven't got to find the receipt. Because if it's like 2 months, 3 months down the line, all of those receipts have gone for the VAT quarter, have then been sent to the bookkeeper to do the bookkeeping on them. So, you know, the last thing I want to do is try and get a receipt back from a third party person, however close they may be in terms of distance, and have to filter through three bagfuls of receipts to try and find one of them. When I go into Apple, they don't ask for a receipt. They don't ask for a purchase record because they've already got it, I suppose. But they never call that purchase record up either. They just swap it. And I mean, my iPad is a classic example because that came from another person in the US and they still swapped it 18 months after I bought it.
Yeah, I mean, I had a good experience with my my time capsule blew, the power supply blew in it, and it was a known problem. So, you know, that is a genuine hardware problem. I just took it in and they swapped it without question. And they actually swapped it. It was one of the older time capsules. And the new dual band ones were out, and they just swapped it for a new dual band one. So, you know, actually, they swapped it for a better piece of kit than I had originally, which was fantastic.
Yeah, I need to figure out how to do that. How to get my old MacBook Pro in and get a new one with just a few quid upgrade. That'd be perfect.
I must say, I have a system that I do tell people that come in with relatively new Macs that are broken. You get, you know, screens gone or logic board failure, stuck pixel lines down screens, that sort of thing. And if they're sort of 18 months old, out of warranty, you phone Apple up, speak to the guy at AppleCare, and they take the serial number and they say, I'm sorry, your computer's out of warranty. If you'd like to bring it in, we can repair it, blah, blah, blah. And that's the guy that answers the phone. And it's the same thing. And if everyone, when you're listening to this in podcast land, this is what to do. It's the guy that answers the phone, is the junior employee at the bottom of the rung, and he's always nice, but he's limited in what he can do. So you basically have a chat with them, be nice, be friendly, and once he's got to the end of his scripted routine, you just say to them, thank you very much. I understand that you can't help me. I appreciate the help you've given me so far. May I speak to your superior? And he will put you through to the guy next up the line. And he's the guy that can say, yes, that's out of warranty. We'll swap it out. So a lot of people fall at the first hurdle where they speak to tech support and they get told it's out of warranty and they accept that. And they don't realize that just with a bit of good natured pushing, just going one up the rung, they can get hold of someone with the authority to do exactly what Apple do, which is just to say, yes, bring it in. So that's my top tip for the week is when you speak to AppleCare on the phone, be nice to the guy because you don't want to make enemies at any stage in the process. Get the guy to help you as much as he can and then go and speak to his supervisor. And in my experience with things like iMacs, MacBooks and things, you can be, you know, 2.5 years old and they'll just swap it out.
Just going on from that, I've got an Audible book that I'm listening to at the moment, and one of the suggestions that they make when you get to customer care is that even if you get the person that can't help you as you say, you stay calm with them all, and then right at the very end, you say, look, I understand that you can't help me. That's great. I've been very satisfied with how hard you've tried, though. I'd like to compliment you, and I'd like to compliment your supervisor and tell them, do you mind passing me through? And apparently they pass you through every single time, and then you could have a real whinge.
I was at this, a christening the other day, And this bloke came over to me and started moaning about Apple. He said, I got a MacBook and I went into the store and some screws have fallen out. And I said, I want these screws right now. And blah, 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 blah. And to be honest, the bloke was a bit of an arse. And he was treated like that as well. So, you know, what goes around comes around.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the start. I went to a thing where dipped a baby in some water. I can't remember. new Macs next week. New iMacs, allegedly. going to come with Thunderbolt, and the suggestion that we're going to get the screen resolution up to 3200 by 2000. Now, is that just kind of like a support feature that they've stuck into Lion just in case for things like shopping centre displays, that kind of stuff? Or do you think we really could be seeing an iMac come out at 3200 by 2000 at 27 inches?
No, you'll see an iMac coming out with exactly the same screen and everything it's got at the moment with Thunderbolt port on the side.
No Sandy Bridge?
Possibly. That's more likely. That'll be the limit. That'll be the extent of it, though.
So why are we going for this extra screen resolution then in
life? I think that's got to be just something that's in there for the future as a sort of stopgap or a catch-all in case things change. But at this stage, I think at this moment, it's just going to be a processor upgrade, likely, maybe not even that insert, but Thunderbolt on the side.
It's the iMac S.
Sport version.
Yeah.
Personally, I think all these people that have been phoning up and talking and saying that they're having trouble with Apple's build quality, they don't deserve a new iMac.
That's it. Just one email. Steady on. Calm down, dear. Calm down. John, what do you think? Do you want a bigger resolution on the screens? Or
not really. No, I agree with Andrew. I think it's for the future. I mean, there's always... I mean, for the past couple of OS releases, there have always been discussions about display... What's the term that they use? The...
Resolution independence,
whereby they can do clever things with the resolution and scale it up and scale it down with having to rewrite applications to sort of fit various resolutions. So I'm sure it's something for the future, but I don't expect it next week. I mean, Thunderbolt, and I would think almost definitely the Sandy Bridge stuff will come out with the new iMac. In fact, I thought, to be honest, when the white iPhone came out, they had the store down for hours and hours and hours, and I sort of had my suspicion that they might have actually brought both out at the same time, but they didn't. So it looks as though it probably will be next week now for the new iMacs.
I mean, I've got a 30-inch monitor, and my resolution is right up there at the 256 by 1600, that's really, really good high resolution, and it looks fantastic. I think my screen's slowly dying, though. Unfortunately, I started it up this morning; it took ages to get warm. I'm just trying to think whether I would gain anything by it, because I can't see individual pixels when I look at my screen at the 2 foot away from it that I am. Would there be any real need to have that high kind of density? I mean, you'd be talking about enormous displays, really, then, wouldn't you? Could we be getting the old 30-inch screen be replaced with a new 32-inch or a new 40-inch screen?
Yeah, it's difficult to say. I mean, there's obviously new display technology that they're working on, but, just what are the benefits? I'm not too sure at the minute whether or not, as you say, there are benefits to do things like that.
Go ahead, Will.
I was going to say, if you want a bigger screen, you could always get close to your screen. Or if you want a smaller screen, just move away a bit.
Casters on your chair.
That's all you need.
That's all
you need.
Good thinking, mate. Good thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, no worries at all, mate.
So how do you get stereo on the screen? And is it just like blocking one eye off and then the other eye?
Stereo?
Stereo, eh? 3D screen. No, it's not a 3D screen, dude. It's a big 30. Go on, Carl.
I had a thought, actually.
Go on.
We're talking about bigger screen resolutions and all this, right? Could these screens be the projected future for an Apple television?
TV is dead. There's no way they're going to do one of them.
You don't think they're going to do an Apple TV with a screen on it?
No way. No way. I mean, it's convergence, isn't it? I bought a new TV this week. I've never had a high-def TV. It came yesterday. Very excited about it.
Okay.
I feel for you, Will.
Yeah, I heard your Tesco TV blew up. Bad luck, mate.
Well, I didn't realise the difference between ready for HD or something, HD ready, and full HD.
Yeah, I mean, ready for HD means 720p, and full HD means 1080p.
Yep.
Yeah. So, it makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yes,
and this
it does,
TV,
Will.
Right,
thank you for calling Apple support.
If you're out of the room for a bit, it turns itself off. It's got a sensor on it. It's amazing. It's got a motion sensor. So if you're not in the room, you can set it to turn itself off after a while.
So come on then, chat room and panel. Are we going to have an Apple TV that is a real TV? Don?
Yes.
I'm undecided. One week I think yes, the next week I think no, because, you know, is it a market they really need to be in? And I've heard and seen lots of arguments from both sides. I sort of did think they would, but then I've seen other people sort of say things such as, well, you know, do they really need to make the glass, because they're already making the, you know, the Apple TV itself. They make this little box for £99 that you can plug into any TV and get all the Apple goodness. But then, you know, other people are saying, well, they do like to control the whole experience. So, you know, Apple being Apple would like would actually like to produce the TV, because then they've got full control of the end-to-end experience, the whole user experience. I don't know. I'm still undecided. I mean, they are a consumer electronics company, and, you know, TV seems to be a mass market that they could probably do a lot with, in the way that they've gone in and changed, like, you know, the smartphone market. But I don't know. It's such a big investment for people, the television, you know, and they're so cheap now. Can Apple actually bring anything to the party that would make you want to pay a premium for a TV set? I'm really not sure. I'm going to clearly sit on the fence on this one, I think.
Okay. Well done, mate. Watch for the splinters. So, Dr. Happy Mac, soon to be TV repairman, what do you think?
Yeah, it's weird. I'm with... ooh, yes. I don't know. I think it's obvious. I think I'm with Don on this one. It's, you know, half of me thinking, God, it's a no-brainer, and the other half's thinking it's just not what they do. You know, the panels and things they use are all made by third parties. It's it can't be too hard to stick the electronics from Apple TV actually into a television. And then in the old days, of course, you know, the original PowerBooks and things were built for Apple by Sony. So they've got a history way back of using, I mean, other manufacturers. Would an Apple TV, not the box, the actual Apple television, would that be, you know, a Sony television with Apple TV built into it, with Apple's branding on the front? That might make a bit more sense. But I think in general, I would probably sort of rock backwards and forwards on Don's shelf until I fell off on the no side.
The chat room is coming out with a fairly decided no, it would seem, as well. Only one yes from Steve, and then all the rest have been no's, apart from Gaz, who said yes, no, yes in three lines. So he's right there with you, Don, undecided.
Yeah. And he doesn't know either.
But now here's the next question, which I think is the one that is really the acid test. And this is a yes or no, no fence sitting here. But if they did make one, would you buy it? Don?
Yes. Of course I would. I mean, that's a stupid question. In fact, if you remember back to last Christmas, I think it was an earnings call a couple of months before last Christmas, and they were saying that they were going to take a hit on some of their expenses, you know, their operating costs, because they were going to ship some large packages across for something that was about to be launched. And everyone thought then that it was the Apple TV. So I sort of held back on buying a TV, although I could have done one at that time. And then it turned out, I think it was the large screen iMac that they were actually referring to. Mm. And so, you know, sort of it all went quasi. And then recently, I think the past couple of months, you know, the whole rigmarole about will they, won't they has kicked off again. But I think if they did, yeah, I probably would do. And I'm sure they could sell, you know, a boatload of them. They're, at least to the Apple, you know, dedicated Apple people, whether or not they'd be able to sell them to, you know, the man in the street, whether or not they could add the value and price it right so that people would want to buy an Apple TV is a different matter, to be honest.
Comment in the chat room, Don would fly to the moon to the moon to queue for one.
I'm flying to the moon. No, yeah, definitely.
Well, at least there'd be a decent view while you were waiting.
True.
You can see my ass from here. What about you, Andrew? Would you buy one?
Me? No.
You wouldn't buy it even if it was there?
I don't know. Would I buy one because I can't afford it, or would I buy one if I could afford it?
Money no object.
Money no object, yeah, of course I would.
All right. Will?
Yeah.
There's not going to be one.
No, if there was, would you buy it?
There's not. I'm not going to answer this question. There is not going to be one. The resounding no.
You can't come on this show, not read the news, and then not take part in the quizzes, mate.
Oh, I know more. You see, I mean, it's my sixth sense. It's not, how is it going to be an Apple TV? I mean, let's be honest, the Apple TV little box thing is a bit crap anyway, isn't it? It's just trying to make your regular TV into like an Apple product.
No, I actually really like it.
I
think it's stunning. I got three of them.
Same here.
Well, you're all mad as hatters.
I think the original Apple TV was a bit crap, but the new one is weirdly addictive.
I need them to get away from the user interface of Front Row a little bit more. It's still too Front Row-y. That's my big gripe over it. And we've got 470 movies on the server, and trying to find a movie that you want to watch under T is a frigging nightmare, because it always goes back to start to A. So the first one I've got, Abyss. I've got to go all the way down to Zulu. It's at the bottom.
But can you do that with the Apple TV?
There's where Apple TV comes in.
Go on, say, Will.
I was going to say, but you can't... The Apple TV is crap, in my opinion, because I'm not interested in renting films. I mean, and it's so expensive to rent films as well. You might as well just buy them if it's a good one. But you can't do that. And then you can't store any of your films. They were saying, oh, yeah, you can stream things from your iPhone, your iPad, and et cetera, to it. But I don't want to do that. I want to buy a film, have it on my Apple TV or whatever it is. Or at least connect a hard disk to it, but they won't let you do it. Why is that then?
Because they're waiting to put out Apple television, that's why.
No, it's because of the fact that it's got to interact with an iTunes account, hasn't it? So it looks for the iTunes on your computer, and then you leave your computer running. So I've got a little server in the office, and it's got external hard drives on. I've got a 4 terabyte RAID drive onto it that's mirrored onto another 4 terabyte RAID where it's backed up. And all the movies, all of my iTunes podcasts and all that kind of stuff, all of the audiobooks I've got, all of my music, and all of the TV shows that I get from Get iPlayer Automator, thank you, Will, are on there. And when you rip them and put them in, you know, they're just all there for everyone to watch. Ellis has got an Apple TV in his room. I've got one down in the lounge, and Sharon and I've got one in the bedroom. And we love it. We use it a lot, awful lot. And I don't rent anything, Will. So I never use my iTunes account on the Apple TV at all, other than to verify, link back to the
server. What do you use your Apple TV for, then?
I watch stuff that I've already got on the server.
But TV does that shows. Work? You can do that, can you?
Oh, yeah. I've got the entire DVD library, 477 movies, all ripped onto the server. It's about 1.8 terabytes of movies. And your Apple TV, it just scrolls down through them. As long as you've added them to the iTunes account on your server, that's it. It's up and running.
Yeah, it's funny. My daughter's got a TV in a bedroom, and she used to have... I had an old Mac laptop that I just left connected to the TV and had Plex on it. So, you know, you could use Plex to actually get to the movies on the server downstairs. And whenever she wanted to watch a movie, she'd always come down and ask me, you know, can you put a movie on for me? Because even though it was simple with Plex, it was a bit of a rigmarole to get it up and running and started, etc. So I've swapped that out now and put an Apple TV in there, and she's away. She's just away with it now. She can just drive it herself with no worries, and they're always available to her. And no, I think it's brilliant. The only thing I would say with the Apple TV, though, and I'm waiting for the next shooter drop, and that's when they open it up, because I still think it's very limited with the applications that you get with it. But once they open up the Apple TV App Store and allow, you know, content creators to create apps that will run on the Apple TV, I think that's going to completely change the game then.
Television.
One of the things that's nice as well on the Apple TV at the moment is if you're into Major League Baseball, you can watch any of the Major League Baseball games, and you buy them through the iTunes Store and you watch them live. They're streamed to you live.
NBA,
and what's also, but I don't think we get the NBA in the UK. We only get the Major League Baseball. But what's quite nice is, even if you don't buy any of them, you can still see all of the live scoring, so that the scores will change in front of you while you're watching the screen. The Apple TV does a shed load more than you think. There, I think, Will.
Maybe.
And now, Will, since you've got an HDMI connection, you can actually use one.
Yeah, but thing is, right, take this. Here's an example of why I think the Apple TV is rubbish. So you said all that, but on my new beautiful Sony TV that plugs into the internet, I can watch iPlayer on my TV, you know, without any hassle. I can do the YouTube thing. I can even do Skype calls on it. The Channel 4 and ITV are coming to it very soon. And it's free, and it's hassle-free too. Whereas the Apple TV, I switch it on, I can watch baseball, which is of no interest to me at all, or I can stream things off my iPad to it. Again, it's a bit of a pain in the arse. I'd rather just not have to do that. I don't know. I don't get it. I know I'm on my own about this. I know it's probably because I'm not that particularly IT literate, which is probably a bad thing. But
that's an Apple trainer, just, somewhat.
Say again.
That's an Apple trainer, perhaps somewhat. Yes.
Yeah. Well, but thing is, I'm not. I'm creative literate, but not IT literate. I want things just to work, and that's why I love Apple so much.
That's probably the best reason why you get the Apple TV, to be honest, Will, because it just does work. I mean, things like streaming movies, streaming your photos, from your Mac as well. So if you have your Mac with, the primary reason I've got it is to access all the content that I've already got in my iTunes library, and I've actually started to move everything into my iTunes library now, just because of the Apple TV, because it's so easy to use. But then you've got added things such as, you've got the we haven't got iPlayer on it yet, but I bet your bottom dollar that will appear on it very, very soon. But you've got access to YouTube, you've got all your internet stuff, but then you've got your stuff like your stuff on Mobile Me, you can get to very easily. You can get to Flickr accounts very easily. You can access all your photo media from your Mac very easily as well. It's just really simple to use.
But Don, I mean, be honest now. I mean, do you really have an evening? You come back from work or whatever you're doing. Do you really just sit in front of your TV looking at photos and things?
No. But I have one. On the main TV, I'll use that for mainly accessing films, to be honest. But like, there's a TV in the kitchen which has got an Apple TV on, and when we have friends around, I'll use that. That's connected to an amp that has speakers in, in different rooms. So I'll actually stream music to that Apple TV, either from a Mac or from my iPhone, if I want to control it while I'm sitting, with friends. And on the screen, while that's happening, we'll have like a photo thing just coming up. And to be honest, it's great fun, because as we go in the kitchen, they can see up on the TV screen, there's all our photos of the past holiday we've been on or something like that. So it's a bit of a talking point as well. But if I want to, if we're sitting there and we want to find some music that I haven't got on my iTunes, I can just fire up Spotify on my iPhone or on my iPad, get onto Spotify, and then stream directly from Spotify using AirPlay to the Apple TV, and it just works. It's brilliant.
But I was only teasing about the IT literate thing, but I am a geek, and we're all geeks here. Mm-hmm. Take your average user. I don't think they can be asked to do all that. I mean, have a system with all their ripped films and et cetera, et cetera. I just see your average guy or girl who comes in from work, they just want to watch a film, but they don't want to rent it. Maybe they buy it, they want to download it, and then a few days later or even a month or two later, they want to watch that again. The way it's set up at the moment, they have to go through this whole process of syncing and blah, 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 blah. It's so complicated. It's so...
I think Apple's response to that would be, if you want to come in and watch a movie, go and rent one from the iTunes store, and it's a couple of buttons on your Apple TV. That's the Apple solution to that. That's how you get movies easily. You don't have to go to the video rental store. You don't have to mess about with physical media. You can just rent the movie, and there you go. For those of us who have more technical knowledge, and we can actually do it ourselves, the tools are there for us to do that. But if you just want a very, very simple, very plain, very, very easy to use system, it's engineered for that, really.
But having said that, though, Will, I mean, when I got mine through, the one thing that struck me was the ease of setup. I got it out of the box. I made all the connections through into the TV. I switched it on. It came up and said, "What's your iTunes account?" So I typed my iTunes account in, and I typed my password. And it said, "Do you want to store your password for purchases?" "No, thank you very much." And then it disappeared and came back and said, "I've found the following iTunes libraries on your network. Which do you want to link to?" So I clicked the one that I wanted to link to. That was it. And anything that I've now got on that iTunes account, I can have. So even if I buy a movie rather than just rent it through the Apple TV, it adds it to my account, and it adds it to the iTunes account on the computer that I've got as well as. So it does it all for me. There's no file management for me to take on.
Mm.
And with Get iPlayer Automator, as you told us, that automatically rips it and adds it to the iTunes account. Well, once it's in the iTunes account there on the main computer, it instantly appears on Apple TV. There's no sync process. There's no, I have to wait for it to turn up. It is instant. The second it says, right, that's done, it's added in iTunes, I can walk through into the lounge, and there it is under TV shows, and it's categorised.
Yeah, whatever. That's the way I'm going to finish.
All right, mate.
I want to know how we got from Apple Television to Will. How do we get you to buy an Apple TV?
I bought one. I've got one. Oh, it's not the question of you convincing me to buy one. I've got one, and it's rubbish.
Dude, I was going to send you £99 to buy one. I'll just come over and set it up for you then.
I just look at it. I look at it there, and it's this little black thing looking back at me, and I don't like it, and he doesn't like me.
Well, that's your dog as well, though, mate. That's about it. Huh? That's your dog as well, though. You don't throw him out, do you?
You know, I think what's funny about the whole thing here is we're all talking literally about the same thing. Even Will, who's not happy with Apple TV, we're all talking about the same thing. We want to bring the content from the internet into our living room. I don't care if you're a geek, if you're the average person, we're all getting to that place. And to sum everything back up to the original point of the topic, that's why I believe Apple will do an Apple television. It brings everything into one space. Yeah. It essentially maybe will be like this huge iMac that sits in your living room, but it will have a hard drive. It's going to have access to, obviously, all this content. To me, it is a no-brainer for Apple to go in this direction. They are too media-oriented now with music and television shows and movies and everything not to do this. And I think we'll see it before we'll see a new iPhone 3.4-inch screen.
All right, how much?
Oh, here we go. Bet. There's money on the table.
I think you'll pay the price what you pay normally for...
No, he wants
a wager, old boy.
Wager?
Money where your mouth is.
A wager. A wager. What, pounds or dollars?
Oh, don't mind, really.
It'll be under $2,000.
The money's going to be transferred via PayPal, so it won't matter.
It'll be under $2,000. 20 quid that in the next... year, let's be honest, let's have a year, 20 quid that there will not be an Apple TV
in the next year from today.
Kyle, there is a bet on the table. It's a wager. He is saying £20 says that there won't be an Apple TV within 12 months from this date. What are you saying?
Oh, I say I'll see his 20 quid and I'll raise him 20 quid because there will be
40 quid on the table. Will you want it?
Yeah, I'll do it.
40 quid. Transferred 40 via quid. Pay. Anyone else want in this action? Chat room, do you want on this action?
I think there will be. In 12 months, we'll see an Apple television.
Right. 40 quid then.
40 quid 40 it is. Quid.
It's a deal.
Transferred via PayPal if they're right or wrong.
So and I'll do it straight from my new Apple television.
The fees have been taken off them.
Yeah, that means you're only going to get a fiver after the fees are gone. Good point. Have we got any cool thingies, chaps? Don, would you like to start us off?
Go on then. I've had lots of cool things this week. It's what to... and mostly have been iPad applications, to be honest. So let me think which one. Oh, and by the way, thank you for that Flight Radar 24 one that you did a week or two ago.
It's fun, isn't it?
That was brilliant, yeah.
Me and Ellis have sat in the garden. And I mean, I it was picked by James Hart off The Big Show. And he's great anyway. And I blatantly stole it last week because Ellis and I had just sat in the garden watching it. And Andy, your Star Walk one, we sat there and I'm sitting moving the iPhone around watching, look for, because we can see on the thing that the space station's coming along. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting trying to find the space station and look for it. He's been absolutely wrapped by both those two applications. Phenomenal choices. Thank you.
Actually, it's weird that because we were using that again last night because the ISS came over last night, didn't it? Very brightly. And you can actually search for ISS in Star Wars and it will find it for you. And then you just position it on the screen. So that's really good. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do a nice easy one. This new thing called Our Choice. It's actually a book. It's a reimagining of books on the iPad, and it's a fully interactive book by, unfortunately it's by Al Gore, but never mind. It's written by, one of the guys who's developed it is a guy called Mike Mattis, who was one of the Delicious Library people, and him and a couple of other ex-Apple engineers have put this company together. I think it's called Push Something Press or something like that. Push Pull Press, I think, something similar. But basically it's an interactive book that has all sorts of embedded visuals and movies. There's no user interface. Everything's done by touch. So you can actually sort of pull pictures out, expand pictures. You can play movies. There's interactive demos of various statistics and stuff that you can just manipulate with your fingers. Very, very impressive. It's the very first one that they've launched. I think it's about £4, so it's not a cheap iPad application. But it's a peek into the future, I think, as to what people will be able to develop using this particular software platform. I think they are developing it as a platform as well, so people can actually create their own iPad books, but it looks very impressive.
What's it called?
It's called Our Choice. That's the name of the actual book itself. If you search for Our Choice on the iTunes store, you'll find it.
It's in iTunes, though, not on the Mac App Store.
Sorry, it's not on the Mac. It's an iPod. It's an iPad application.
iPad app, right, there we go. Our Choice. And what was the price, do you know?
I think it's about $3.99 or $4.99.
So it's not horrific, then?
No.
That's good choice,
mate. Lots of content in there.
Nice one. Andy, do you have a pick for us?
Yes, I've got a little application that I find very useful on my Mac, which is called Omni Disk Sweeper. It's one of the things that's surprisingly hard to do is work out where all your bloody disk space has gone. Unless you've got a big iTunes library, then you know where it is. But anyway, it's great. It's really small, 7 megs, only Omni Disk Sweeper. You fire it up and it scans the local drive and any attached drives, and it presents all the files to you in order of size. And you can just go and, oh, look, there's like 3 gigs of ladies with their clothes on. I can get rid of that. There's, you know, a load of iDVD themes that I've never used since iDVD was invented. Let's get rid of that. And you can, if you've got a Mac that hasn't got an enormous hard drive and you're kind of, it's looking like a expanding wallet, then yeah, that's the one to go for. Omni Disk Sweeper. And it's free diddly dee.
Are you suggesting that your hard drive gets bigger after looking the nighty ladies?
It certainly gets, yes.
I got to say, Andy, you bring your picks back to porn an awful lot more than I thought you would.
I've never bought it. This is the first time that I've ever done that. But I also, I got the sensible one out of the way, and I'm afraid, here's a courtesy of Mark Sunner. This is my other cool thing in the week. Sorry about this. This is built for television later, isn't it? There we go. Does anyone know what's in there?
No.
Your lunch.
It's a OS 10.7.
Glad you came prepared, mate.
Anyone? Any ideas?
It's a Mac. Oh, it's one of these Macs.
Ta-da!
Really good. How much did that cost you? 500 quid?
No, that's an M0001, that is, with a signed case inside. Mr. Mark Sunner's cool pick of the day.
Right.
Sorry if you got the podcast there rather than the streaming video, but that was a Mac, Mac one, whatever it is. Lovely.
Jolly good.
I just go with Omni Disk Sweeper. It's easier.
Omni Disk Sweeper it is then. Thanks very much. Yeah.
Porn Finder.
Porn Finder. There we go.
Porn Finder.
Didn't you do this the other? You did this the other week where you said when it's all turned red, you found all your porn. There we go. I do remember. Kyle, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I've got to mention before I tell you what I have. The British Mac fan has given Andrew a new title, Dr. Happy Porn.
It's Dr. Happy good. Mac covers it. It's all happy.
Oh, God. My pick is a free app that I've used all week long thanks to the BagelTech photo group. It's the Flickr app for the iPhone. And it is really nice. It's very slick, and it was easy to set up. You just have to go in and verify your account through Safari, and it takes you right back to the app. Completely free. Has all your photos streamed there. You can tag your photos. You can add Twitter to send it out. You can even put geotagging in it, the location of the photo, all of these sort of things. It's a really, really cool free app. Flickr for the iPhone.
Jelly good, mate. Free of charge. Excellent.
Yeah. From Mr. Cheapskate himself. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. Yes. Why buy it when you can get it for free?
Right.
Mr. Green, have you got anything for us?
I have got, I think, the most amazing application. I'm afraid it's iOS again, but for the iPad I have ever seen.
Go on then.
Mm. You see, I thought I'd build up the drama. It's called UK Map. So it's only for, obviously, the UK. Well, it could be for anyone else. But it isn't. It's incredible. It takes what do you call it? I'm getting, you don't want to talk, and it comes back.
Yeah,
got me a bit mad.
No, okay, you're cutting out a little bit as well. So go ahead.
Can you kill that? Or
I can't kill anything, mate. I much as I want to.
Okay, fair enough. I'll keep on talking. So it's UK map. It's got this. It takes. The what do you call those maps? You know, what maps, the real ones? ordnance survey. It takes all the ordnance survey data and puts it on a map and then adds shading and then makes it 3D and also adds that sort of, what do they call that? Not virtual reality, but where you move your device and everything changes.
Augmented
in front
reality.
Or that's the chap. And it does that, and it's absolutely incredible. So it draws this 3D view of exactly what you're looking at, and then you can just scroll across Great Britain. You can zoom in and zoom out, and it's just the most amazing application I think I've ever seen for the iPad. It really does sort of demonstrate what an amazing product the iPad is. It really is the sort of the future of technology. It's like, you know, when you get one of those products that sort of crosses the boundary and you think, wow, this is what it's all about. This is the way technology is going. It's that good.
Great.
This would look great on an Apple television.
UK. So, it's called UK Map.
UK Map. I think it's about £5.99. Have you got it?
Yeah, I've got it. It's fine.
$6.99. Before, it was just 2D and it was just a regular map application. But they updated it about a month ago and added this 3D thing into it. It blows my mind. Until you're actually sat in front of an iPad with it, I can't quite describe it. But you can imagine, you can look at it sort of straight on, and then you can level the iPad out, and the horizon comes into view, and in the distance you can see mountains and valleys and hills and stuff, and you can just touch your finger and like sort of almost fly across the country. It's truly incredible.
Very, very good. Mm-hmm. UK Map, $6.99. Thank you very much. My pick is something that I get very happy about, because one of my problems is if having too many windows open on the screen, I lose track of where I am. And being dyslexic, I'm always looking for something which brings things forward, makes things more prominent. And I've got Hazeover as my pick. It's a great little application you get from the Mac App Store. It's 59 pence, so it's not going to cost you hardly anything. There's no free version, though, Kyle. Sorry, don't get excited. And basically, what it does is, once you start it, you can vary the settings, and it will dim your non-used windows and highlight the one that you've got showing up. And I've used it all week this week, and it is absolutely... I can't imagine my life without it. I want it on every computer that I've got, no questions. You just click on the active app, everything else dims into the background, and you can even get it to dim back down to sort of 90% where you can barely see it. And that just brings everything that you want to read right the way forwards into your field of vision. And it makes it tons easier to read documents and that kind of stuff, because there's no distractions, and I love it to bits. So there you go, Hazeover, 59p. Final word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. They are the people that are keeping us afloat, and I say the same thing every week, and I hope it doesn't get boring, but these people really have helped us. We've had some serious issues with bandwidth this month. It's gone a little bit stupid. We've lost 3 terabytes off the server as I speak. UK2 are adding 3 extra nodes to the server next week to deal with the extra capacity that we need, and they're really looking after us. If you like listening to the Bagel Tech Network, you've got to go and help the people that support us and keep us alive, because if they disappeared, forget Libsyn, they wouldn't be even able to remotely cope with the amount of data that we're pushing out to everyone. So please go to our website. When you get there, scroll down to the bottom and you'll find a UK2 logo. Click on the UK2.net logo and you'll go through to their website and have a browse around and see what they've got to offer. They've got domains, e-commerce, tons of stuff. We've still got a VPS offer with them. If you take out a VPS server with them, they'll give you a month free of charge if you use the offer code BAGELTECH. And also with the co-location services, you'll get an iPad 2 and a month free if you use BAGELTECH as your coupon code when you check out. Please give them a go and please check them out. And the other person to check out is Don, who's been very kind to anyone who's a listener on BAGELTECH. If you're a BAGELTECH listener and you go to Don McAllister's screencasts online and sign up for membership, using the coupon code BAGELTECH, you will get 50% off your first year's membership, which is huge, absolutely huge. So thanks to Don as well. Please support him, because he gives his time free of charge as well. We all do. No one's getting paid for doing this stuff. Because if we were paying for it, you wouldn't bloody listen, would you? There we go. Right, finally then, just quick run around where we can get a hold of you. Don?
Yeah, you can find me over at screencastonline.com/extra. That's the podcast. Been playing about with one of those, with about.me, you know, that service where you can put all your links together on a single page. So you can see all my Twitter links, links to blogs, etc. over now at donmcallister.net. That'll take you to my About Me page.
Oh, right. Okay. Really good. Mm-hmm. Andrew?
Me? Yes, I was just going to say, I've moved one of my clients over to uk2.net this week.
Did you use the click-through?
Yes.
Good man.
Yes, I did. I must say that, I mean, UK2, they would have to be the stinkiest thing in the world to be worse than WebFusion. My God. Ugh. Anyway, Dr. Happy Mac, at Dr. Happy Mac, on Twitter, yes.
So that's there you me. Go. Recommendation of the week. Go to UK2 because they're not as bad as someone else. I'll be sure to pass that on to the sponsor.
I don't think it's
Andrew.
Physically
Thank
possible.
You.
They would have to shut up shop, close everything down, and have like an empty building in the middle of nowhere, which is physically on fire, to be worse than WebFusion.
Stop digging, dude. Kyle, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Well, you can find me easily, actually, on Twitter, just twitter.com/KyleSwagger, Swagger with one G. I also set up Dr. Happy Porn for Twitter now.
You have. Be sure to send him the password.
Oh, I'll do it.
I can see the discussion at home with my wife about that one already.
There's going to be versions of, there's more versions of Dr. Happy than there will be Bagel Tech. Dr. Happy Schwing. Dr. Happy
Dog. No, dear, it's nothing to do with me. It was a strange man from the Philippines set it up for me.
Yes, of course.
I stopped
Kyle,
digging
could you
again.
Could you set up Dr. Happy Johnson? Because that would be kind of cool.
Okay.
our own Dr. Johnson. And finally, Will, where can we get you, mate?
No longer at Pipe Smoker of the Year.
Why? What's happened?
Well, I looked into it a bit more, and the reason they stopped it... It's something to do with promoting or advertising the use of tobacco. And so you can get into big trouble about it, apparently. I did a really nice website as well.
Fortunately, it hadn't cost you much to buy the domain.
No, he didn't. But thing is, do you ever sometimes wonder, why didn't I look into it before? Why didn't I think, why did they stop this? Why have I spent 3 days setting up a website all about smoking tobacco products and it's illegal?
Are you going to get us into trouble now?
Huh?
Are you going to get us into trouble now?
Well, no, because I in no way endorse or promote the use of tobacco-based products.
Oh, okay. Very good of you, mate.
You can try out. Okay, can you not try out for Crack Pipe Smoker of the Year?
That is a thing, isn't it?
You'd probably get away with that because there's no legislation covering it. Bong user. There you go.
Bong user.
Oh. Bong user.
Oh, that's it. That's my week. Next week covered.
Bonguser.com.
Bonguserofthe year.com.
Yeah.
But so you can't get me there anymore, but you can get me if you still want to at BritishMac.com. And my Twitter, strangely, is BritishMac as well.
Dr. Self-Flagellation. There we go. There's another one. Can you get that one, Carl?
Yeah, I'm looking right now, actually. I'm actually seeing if Dr. Happy porn.com is available. Get it registered through UK2.
I'm sure they'll be very happy that we've associated with that now. Thank you for UK2 support over the last 2 years. It's been wonderful. I'm sorry that it's now gone, however. The views of the people that are on this show do not express my views and the views of the relationship with UK2 because, Jesus.
It looks like I'm no longer part of the network.
We'll have a chat after, dude.
Are you not going to bring the royal wedding in at this point?
I really couldn't give a stuff about the royal wedding, but what do you want to say then, dude?
Well, I don't know. I just think that we're so close to the edge with illegal tobacco advertising porn as well, that at this point I thought you might want to...
Are you going to buy princessbrideoftheyear.com or something?
Well, should we go back to what I was talking about before we sort of went live or not?
No.
end the show, Ewan. End the show. End it now.
And we're going to do the after show, and we're going to sell the after show, which is going to be us talking to Will about other stuff. But we're going to end the show there. Thanks very much. We'll be back next week, as normal, on Friday with the Bagel Hopefully. Tech Mac. And if you want to know what happened to Will, I'll keep the recording on audio going only, and we'll see if we can post it. Well, we'll have to listen to it first, though. Thanks for joining us, and have a good weekend.